Welcome to another episode of Menopause Uprising with me, your host, Catherine O'Keefe. Today's episode. So imagine being in the Oireachtas and being in full flow of speech, and all of a sudden you get dry mouth and brain fog hits. That doesn't make for an easy situation. Today, I'm thrilled to be chatting with Mandy Lacrom, who is the Senior Industrial Relations Officer with the Financial Services Union. So we talk about Mandy's experience, her own personal experience, and also the great work that Mandy is doing across both the Republic of Ireland and also Northern Ireland in relation not just to menopause, but also in relation to menstruation as well. I hope you enjoy today's episode. And as always, please do rate or review or comment on the podcast on whatever platform you're watching. It really does help for us to reach more women and more people to create awareness around menopause. Thank you. The number one most challenging symptom, Mandy, as we know for our sisters in the workplace, is brain fog. And I know it's a symptom I talk about a lot because it was probably one of my most challenging symptoms in my early perimenopause years. And I think you were familiar, or you can relate to that symptom.
Yeah, well, what I would say is when we embarked on doing an awful lot of research around the workplace issues around menopause, and I started to see more and more what was coming through and what our members were telling us, I started to then realise that I was perimenopausal myself, because I think the brain fog and the kind of anxiety that's associated with that was the thing that was, I suppose, I was suffering from most that I could see that had happened. And I had had a couple of particularly really difficult experiences around that, which were in quite high profile public places. And, you know, one of them being in the Oireachtas, and you're kind of on Oireachtas TV and you're being asked a question. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, I just couldn't answer. I just went wave blank. And, you know, it was really upsetting at the time, but I just kind of said immediately, oh, it's gone. And then the person just asked me another question and I answered that, but it threw me. And then for the rest of the time that I was there, I felt really self-conscious. And afterwards, I got really upset. Like when I left, I just burst out crying because it was the first time it had really happened to me. And it's happened to me a couple of times since, in terms of public speaking or, you know, chairing meetings, etc., where it just comes across as a blank. Now, look, I work in a very, very, I suppose, inclusive workplace. We are very much all talk about menopause and menstrual health and periods and everything where we are. So if I'm with my cohorts in here and it happens, I can just say, I'm having a moment, you know, and everyone will just go, fine, you know. But that's not the case, you know, when you're kind of out in the wider workplace, which is it makes it more difficult, you know.
And did you find, because I know when that happened to me when I was back, when I was working in the investment banking at the time, I found, just like you, I remember being so upset. I was kind of, what is going on with me, you know? But did you, I definitely found, Mandy, for me, I definitely found, God, it impacted my confidence. Did you find?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I find that particularly in the last couple of months, I find, you know, probably since the latter part of last year and the start of this year, that my confidence is lessened because of it, because you don't know what's going to happen in any situation. Like I'm regularly asked to go and speak at things or speak at conferences, etc. And even though I'm really happy to do it and I know my subject matters really well, I would have been extremely confident before to go into any of those situations. But I start sitting before I go up to speak now going, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. And I start getting more and more upset. And then, of course, it naturally happens. So I find if I'm speaking at things, I probably will need notes that I can just glance down, even if I never look at them, just to know they're there. So that if I kind of lose it for a second, I can go, oh, there we were. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But it does really knock your confidence and it does stop you putting yourself forward for things. And I suppose what's really disappointing, I suppose, at this stage in our working lives, and what I find as well, I think I feel as if I've worked extremely hard to become a senior person in an organization, and then to, you know, get to this point in my life where I should be really excelling, I'm now worried about how I'm going to be perceived, you know. And you know, even saying that to my coworkers, they're like, oh, you know, don't be silly, don't be silly. But I notice it and I internalize it. And I find it really, really upsetting, actually, really upsetting.
And I think, do you know what? I think the more we internalize things, it's a bit, I always say it's like the pressure cooker. You keep pushing things down, it's gonna come out. It's gonna like, you know, it's like you go into that situation where trying not to be anxious, you're hoping it doesn't happen, but
I
sometimes
know, and you get worse, yeah.
yeah,
Terrible.
so
But the
yeah.
waves, I think the waves of anxiety, I think people had always sort of said to me, oh, you can feel a bit anxious, or, you know, if you're perimenopausal or menopausal, you'll get a bit of brain fog, you'll be forgetful. It's not, it's much worse than that. It's waves. It's like a hot wave, and then it stops. It's like it's teasing you. You might remember this, you might forget this, and it's coming, and you're going, stop, stop. And it's coming and coming and coming. And then it gets up here, and it's completely gone. And, you know, I had an incident last week where my mouth went dry. I felt like my tongue wouldn't work. And I kept going and kept going to the point that the next day my tongue was sore. And that was the catalyst for me to actually go back to the doctor and say, I don't care what tests are happening, what blood tests you're doing, or, you know, I still get my period every month. And these are all the kind of blockers to getting HRT, you know, and, you know, your hormones are this, that, and the other, and they're fine. This is the blood tests are coming back that I'm not perimenopausal. I know I am. And I just said, I want to go on HRT and try it. So that's what I did last week. And my GP finally gave it to me, you know, so I've just started.
And I think Mandy, that's a great example. It's a brilliant, brilliant example of what I hear a lot from women will kind of say to me, oh, I might, you know, I have these symptoms, but my cycles are still regular. So
Yeah.
it can't be perimenopause, but you can, like you
Yeah.
are, you know. And I think that's a big part of the awareness around menopause that I still think we still have to kind of get that out there more. So when I'm in workplaces, the one thing when I talk about symptoms, the last symptom I talk about is our periods, because I'm always saying, listen, all of these other symptoms can happen before your periods start to change. And
Yeah.
the periods change, they're so subtle. So it can be like,
Yeah.
it can be a couple of hours, it's a half a day, but we don't really notice that. We don't pay attention to that because in our heads it's still kind of coming in the same week or whatever, you know. So yeah, no, I think that's a really, really important point. And when you look at, like, you know, your own experience, I think that has been great in terms of the fantastic work that has been done by several of the unions in relation to women's health, right? Can you maybe just for our listeners, can you just talk us through, you know, the survey, I guess, that you did first in relation to menopause?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think, you know, we would have, it's important to say that the Financial Services Union has a very high demographic female members. So we have 70% female members. So we're generally, as a union, very, very focused on, you know, gender issues anyway. Like, we would be well known for being the first unions to bring in domestic violence workplace policies. We have full paid maternity leave. You know, we have all of these extra parental leaves and carers leaves, etc. So, you know, it was a natural progression for us to start looking at, you know, things that really are, I suppose, mean a lot to women workers, right? We have a women's network, and as part of that network, they would ask us to go and kind of look at, you know, campaigning on different issues. So a number of years ago, we did a survey on menopause in the workplace, and that was because we wanted to approach employers around, you know, seeking workplace policies. And when we looked at the Republic of Ireland, we didn't have the stats in the Republic of Ireland that we could rely on, because employers in the Republic of Ireland will always say, despite the fact that the stats are the same in every country, oh, that's England, or that's Northern Ireland, or that's Europe. What about the Republic of Ireland? So we did our own survey, and we had almost 1,500 respondents to the survey. So we had a good enough amount of people that had taken part, but we had 6,109 member comments that actually, like, wrote, you know, specific instances. And I have to say, like, all of the commentary in that, the 6,000 inserts into that, I read every single one of them, and I was so upset reading them, because I could really see how the women in our union were really suffering. You know, they were having really bad episodes, some of the stuff that I talked about, but also they were having episodes where they were, like, bleeding out in rooms. You know, they were being ridiculed. You know, there was one woman, I think I told you before, Catherine, that you know, she said that she was at a board meeting, and, you know, she started getting hot flush, and people started sneering at her, and she left work that day, and she went home, she cut off all her hair and had a mental breakdown. You know what I mean? So people didn't go back, like, you know, and so there was just women leaving workplaces all over the place. So we said, right, we're going to have to get the details here. So The results of our survey were 97% said that they would welcome a workplace policy. So that was really, really showed that there was no workplaces really that had them in the finance sector. 90% said that the menopause affected their work in life. I mean, it's really obvious, I suppose, if it affects you in your private life and your personal life, that that's obviously going to spill over into the workplace. I don't know how people would think it wouldn't. 75% said the gender of their manager influenced how they talked about the menopause. And that was really important, and particularly in finance, because we do see, especially, with the gendered roles in finance, that generally speaking, the men are in the senior positions. And, even things like branch managers, et cetera, there were women that just felt that they couldn't speak to their managers because of the stigma attached and fear really about mostly as well. So they almost 100% said that they would welcome management and union reps to be trained specifically to how to support women experiencing menopause. There was, I suppose, an upsetting statistic that said almost 40% said it was still treated as a joke in the workplace. And like in those 6,000 examples, we got many examples of how people were being laughed at and jeered at. And I'll share one example with you from one of the main banks where a woman had said that, she was in a branch and that a manager had turned up the heat in the branch, making a joke about how they would all be, menopausal and having hot flushes, and if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, and all this sort of stuff. So, there was a lot of sneering and joking, and some from younger people to older people as well, and younger women to older women. So there's a real lack of understanding on how this actually affects people. There was only 17% that said menopause is not treated negatively in the workplace, so that's really worrying. And I do think that, the speaking up about it as well, people worried about how they would be perceived in terms of promotional opportunities, etc. And even myself, when I talk about menopause in my own place, I'm conscious that people are probably thinking, oh God, don't give her any more to do. Like, you know what I mean? You're always worried that that's the perception, like, and that shouldn't be the case for us, 84% said that they were currently experiencing or likely to experience menopause. So that was a really, really high number of people that were either going to at some stage go through menopause or were currently experiencing it. So it was no way, there was any way that we could really kind of ignore what was happening, because it was really going to be a huge amount of people that were being affected,
And Mandy, do you think from when that survey was done, and it's like this, I did a survey back in 2021 in the workplace, and a lot of our stats there, they mirror exactly what I got
Yeah,
back.
of course.
Different because I would have had a load of other different industries and not just the fine, but it's all saying the same thing. Do
Same.
you think there, like I think you mentioned, it was 40% said, it was still kind of sneered at and whatever in the workplace. You think, have we had a change there? What do you think? And I'm not naive. I work with workplace who are very positive, but I do know that there are still workplaces out there, and I do know women are still in pockets treated negatively. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, there's probably a lot of women in the workplace now who feel that the joking is not as much as it used to be, okay? But I would say that they would still be an apprehension on, raising it. I think there's still that fear of being an other or having something wrong with you or being a problem. But I don't really see the jokes as much. And we would talk to the women and our women members and the women, I suppose, from our women's network as well. And they would say to us that it's not joked about. In fact, recently we kind of review some of the stats regularly, in talking shops. And, some people from some of the banks were saying to us that, like, really, it would be, there would just never be anything negative said, or never be a joke, or it's completely different in that regard since a couple of years ago. But it's still difficult to get the supports. It's still really difficult. Employers are all about, you're pushing an open door as long as it doesn't cost anything. This is not news to anybody. You're pushing an open door on the kind of inclusivity and stuff like that, but and the equality issue. But at the same time, if you're looking for practical supports that are going to be costly, then you can come up against barriers there,
And a lot, but a lot of the practical supports around menopause don't have to be costly. They
No, they
really
don't.
It's just
No.
like that thinking outside the
I'm,
box and, you know, being open to kind of supporting the individual person is going to.
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we've negotiated in our union really, really robust menopause workplace policies in all of the major banks in the Republic of Ireland and in Northern Ireland. So I cannot fault the finance sector in that regard. The banks have been really, really good on this, right? Once we got them to kind of have a look at it, they did, pull out the goods, right? But we would have, like, as you say, the environmental supports are really simple and easy. There's, proper ventilation, access to desk fans, regulating the heat, changing fabric and uniforms. A lot of them have done that as well, which is really good. Access to cold drinking water and toilet facilities for washing. All that stuff is really simple and stuff people should have. The practical supports, then, although the banks have been very good at doing this, other sectors I find are absolutely not, following suit. Like, we would have 10 days paid leave in our policies for women who, need to seek medical or consultation or anything, any kind of, supports, or even just if you'd happen to take a menopause day, that you would be paid for it. And also, we would have things like, that menopause related sickness doesn't trigger a performance improvement plan, which is really important as well, because we know that, especially in our sector, in the finance sector, it's a very high performance culture. But the flexible working and the things like that, that are probably the most important piece around this, are not costly. The 10 days, you can see why people maybe don't want it, but counseling and things like that, and employee assistance programs, like, these are all things that people have,
They're already there. It's just kind of tweaking them a little bit. And I think the other thing is when you spoke earlier about the apprehension that a person can have in relation to opening up about their symptoms at work. I really do feel, and I have worked with some great workplaces where I have seen where senior management have been very much part of the conversation. And maybe in some cases they have shared their own experience. That's a game changer, Mandy, because that means if you're listening to a senior manager talk about her experience and she's saying it as it is, that's very empowering
Yeah,
for
it is.
else to listen to. And that makes you then think, okay, well, actually, look, she's in this job, she's in a high profile job, she's got through this, so this is okay, and my workplace is supporting it. I think that's a very, if where possible, I think it's a very important part of the conversation, and I think that's where we have to on the apprehension, because if we're not in a position where we can sit at a meeting table that maybe we're behind a retail desk or wherever we are, if we can't feel comfortable to say, I'm having a moment, I'm having
Yeah.
a flush. And remember, it's a passing phase.
Absolutely.
We need that has to happen, for us to really make true change and progress. We just have to feel comfortable that we're not threatened by opening up to the fact I'm in menopause, because
On
there's it's all about supporting yourself, your management
But the
officer.
training part is extremely important in these policies as well. All of the policies have proper training, and I suppose, socializing the policy into the workplace is really important. So making sure that at induction people are aware of policy, but also making sure that each individual business unit, and we talked before about menopause champions, really important part of this, so that people are either aware and know that they have somebody they can go to if they want to speak to someone. And also, you want to know that the managers in your area are trained to deal with this as well, so that you can feel you can have open conversations with them. And that's all about the visibility, and breaking the stigma, which is kind of part of what our Stop the Stigma campaign is around,
Big time. And so just talk us through then in relation to the Stop the Stigma campaign, which I have here for anyone who won't see that. I was just lifting up a copy of the campaign. The Stop the Stigma campaign, Mandy, do you want to just give us an insight into that?
Yeah, so it's a multi-union campaign. So it's calling for updated protections and workplace policies in relation to menopause and menstrual health. So we're not leaving out menstrual health. That's a big part of it as well. And it's raising awareness, in workplaces, smashing the stigma, because there's a huge stigma, especially particularly around period healthcare. There's a huge stigma, while people are talking about menopause, they still don't want to talk about periods, It's Ireland's largest trade union, so it's across all employment sectors. So it's in both the public sector and the private sector. So it's giving a really good round view of all of the sectors of employment. And I tell you, the unions involved, obviously the Financial Services Union, which is finance sector. We have FORSA, which is in the public sector. We have the INMO, which is the nurses and midwives. We have Unite, the trade union. We have the INTO, the teachers union. We have the ESU, which is the ESB union. We have the Communication Workers Union, which is CWU. We have CIPTU, and we have the Irish Congress of Trade Unions on board as well, both Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. So it's really around all workplaces, all sectors. And, as part of the campaign, it's around the pursuit of workplace equality, obviously, and to see the introduction of menopause and menstrual health policies addressed throughout. So that would really mean that, while we've got them okay in finance sector, we want to see them all in other sectors. We're currently speaking to employers now around the menstrual health policies and specific policies around that. And I have to say, banks have been quite good on that too. We have free period products already available in the buildings, in the employments that we deal with. So, we're making progress there. And a lot of the menstrual health supports actually are very similar to the menopause supports. So you're not actually asking the employers to do too much more, I think there's a fear around, whether you're looking for, paid time off for every woman every month, but that's not really what we're doing. And I think the kind of another important piece around this campaign is workplaces have evolved. And I do think that, we have to move with the times. Workplaces currently are set up for what workplaces were like decades ago. Women are staying in the workplace longer. There are more women in the workplace than ever. And in terms of a trade union campaign like Stop the Stigma, there are more trade union members that are female. In both sides of the border, all Ireland, we have over 50% of the membership, and women are far more likely to join a trade union than men. So, it's very much a union campaign, but very much really looking at the workplace and saying that we need to really reassess. And we would like the government as well to ensure that, existing occupation, health and safety and equality legislation mandates for these supports as well. That menopause and menstrual health would be given due consideration too.
And I think it's a fantastic piece of work, because it really does kind of set the precedence, the kind of, in terms of this is what we want to happen. And I think if we look at endometriosis care, right? And I know there's a lot of work being done, fantastic work by Kathleen King in relation to endometriosis advocacy in Ireland. And, in terms of the care there, we're really looking for, or what Kathleen is looking for, is Ireland becoming one of the first countries to kind of pave the way in the treatment endometriosis, which needs to happen. And I think this is another great opportunity where, like, look at what Spain have done in relation to their menstrual care in the workplace. And it's another great opportunity for us to pave the way, not just in relation to menopause, but also in relation to supporting periods in the workplace. And you're right, like, we struggle to talk about periods.
I do.
But it's again, like, it's normal. Like, we wouldn't all be here without reproduction and,
And 1 in 10 women in the Republic of Ireland suffer from endometriosis, so that's a really high number. And I think in most countries in Europe, it's around 1 in 9 or 1 in 10. But I kind of always feel like when you see a lot of countries with 1 in 9, and then you see the Republic of Ireland 1 in 10, is that people aren't saying they have it, and I think that that in particular is so debilitating in the workplace, so debilitating, and simple flexibilities around working from home, et cetera, having a bad period. It just make people's life so much easier, so much easier.
Totally. And I think one of the biggest challenges with endometriosis is that currently your number of years to get diagnosed, you're looking at anywhere from 7 to 10 years, which is, I mean, and that's one of the things we need to do. We need to get much, much better.
Yeah, we need to get much better on all of this stuff,
Oh my God. Like Mandy, think about it. Like, when was women's health on the agenda in the workplace? Like, I'll tell you, when
Never.
I was in the bank, there wasn't. And like
Never.
we were very progressive. We and you know, at the time, I do remember conversations around gender pay gap and all of that. That's like over 10 years ago. But women's health was not on the agenda. And
But
I
there's still even some, blockers, even in the media around this, because you would think that absolutely everybody would be on board with this. When we did our menstrual health survey, which was last year, and we launched the results, we did it around International Women's Day. And, we did a lot of media stuff around that at the time, and a lot of interviews and stuff. And people were saying, oh, but, are you sure you should be pushing this? Because, this will stop people from hiring women. I was like, what? Are you serious? Right. And, people said that about maternity pay. Decades ago, people said, oh, if you start giving the maternity pay, people won't hire women. Well, now we've got full pay 26 weeks for people that we represent. We also have 26 weeks for the man in some of the employments as well. Like, it doesn't stop people. You just have to really move with the times, And I mean, women are not going to be excluded from the workplace because of menstrual health or menopause policies. Quite simply, the workplaces wouldn't operate without women. There's 50% of the workforce are female.
Yeah,
Just
that's a
wouldn't operate.
fact. We're amazing.
I know.
But no, but I think it's this is so important. It really is. Like, I would love to think there was no woman in Ireland who was suffering going through menopause work today. I know that's not the fact. I know, unfortunately, there are still women out there right now today at work who are suffering in silence. And I think, this is where this, the Stop the Stigma campaign, this is where, the advocacy work that we're all doing in terms of really trying to push the government to ensure that the right support, like Mandy, this is the time,
I
these
know, yeah.
have to happen.
And also, and I know you and I spoke before about this as well, about the financial impact of menopause on women. I do think, trade unions need to start taking that up as well, because, we have the Stop the Stigma campaign around the awareness and, having the visibility in the workplace and getting the practical supports. But, outside of work as well, there's a socioeconomic factor associated for working women or all women around the cost of menopause. That doesn't happen in other jurisdictions like Northern Ireland or in the UK, and I mean that is a big issue as well, the cost element attached to that, and even the access to HRT. If you look at some of the socioeconomic groups that struggle to actually get access to the medications. I know I was even speaking to a woman when I was out walking the dog at the weekend, and I was telling her that I started HRT because that's what happens when women walk their dogs. And she actually said to me, how did you get the HRT? I'm asking my doctor for years and they won't give it to me. They're telling me I have to go to a consultant. So there's just so many barriers even in place for people who are trying to access the medication, never mind the cost of the medication. And then you've got to go into all the workplace stuff as well. So it really is a trying time for women of a certain age.
Yeah, and I definitely think the financial aspect has to be dealt with because, like, look at, our colleagues in the north and in the UK, it's pretty much free HRT compared to what we're paying here. And I know, as you're aware, recently I was looking at this, and you're going on average anywhere from 17 to 65 euros per month is what women are paying for various types of HRT. But there are barriers there, and there is, like you said, Mandy, I have met so many women who have told me that they cannot afford management supports in medicine. And this can be from HRT, it can be the option to maybe go for counseling, it can be maybe the option to look at complementary therapies, but that there is the barrier there in terms of the finances and being able to support that. So that's where I think the community initiatives in relation to support, like the menopause clinics and everything, are fantastic, but they need another layer. And that other layer needs to be, what are the other therapies, the complementary therapies that can also support, like, cognitive behavioral therapy, all of these other you can also bring in alongside HRT, so that you're, really offering a full multi
Full.
scheme of support to people, and of course a big part of that for me is the DEXA scan as well, because I find
Yeah.
so many women will go to their doctor and their doctor will kind of maybe won't want to send them for a DEXA scan, or there might be other reasons. But whereas, at a minimum at the age of 50, at a minimum,
That's it, yeah.
women should be getting a DEXA scan, because if you hit your mid 50s and you fall and you break something and you discover osteoporosis, well, the horse has bolted. You've missed
I
your.
have to say, one of the things that gave me comfort was getting the DEXA scan, because when I got that, then I just felt, wow, that's really amazing. Got really good results from it, and I don't have brittle bones, and it was really fantastic results. So I just felt like, right, something at least is working and going right. You know what I mean? And that gives you a confidence that you're not, if you fall over, because I know my mother suffers from osteoporosis. She won't mind me saying that, but she suffers and has done for many years because she was plunged into very early menopause when she had a hysterectomy in her early 40s, right? And I suppose decades ago they didn't have, I suppose, the doctor interest that they have now in this kind of thing. So she anytime she trips or falls, I think she's broken wrists, legs, arms, shoulders, everything. And I was hoping that I wouldn't be going down that route as well, so
That's brilliant, because and now that you know that your bones
yeah.
are, it means that then you can just make sure you're doing the right exercises
Exactly, yeah.
strong. And I think, like, if we look at the key reasons women end up in nursing homes, is fractures.
Yes,
They break
yeah.
bone or it's
And they
dementia.
don't recover, yeah.
So I think, like, this is where I'm such a believer in using kind of the opportunities of menopause, like our 40s and 50s, to get our bones strong, so that
Yeah.
we're not going to, be in a delicate position, or, as we get older. I think it's hugely important.
I
But
think one of the things, like, since I embarked on the journey of doing the research around the workplace issue, I've just learned so much about women's healthcare and all about menopause and how to even apply it in my own life and to my friends' lives as well, and to be able to, really keep an eye on things because, prior to, I suppose, embarking on this journey for the workplace stuff, I was really in a fog about it, really, to be honest with you, So it's been quite beneficial to myself.
that's it. But isn't that what happens to all of us? It's maybe not until it's on your own doorstep that
I
you kind
know.
of you're in a position maybe to receive the information or to be
Well,
open.
I thought I was going mad, Catherine, until I realized that the stuff I was reading to try and get the policies of the workplace was actually the stuff that was happening to me. So I was thinking, I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. And I thought I was going mad. I actually thought that there was a chance that I was suffering from stress and anxiety or something. And I still wasn't even dealing with that, by the way. But that's what started making me think that that must have been what it was. And then when I started looking into all of the symptoms, I thought, sure, I'm 51 years of age. You know what I mean? Obviously, this is me,
Totally. And I think that's where the starting point, I always say, and I'll put a copy in the show notes, is a symptom checker. Because even in early, because a lot of women now are starting perimenopause even earlier, like they can be 41, 42.
Yeah.
But if you know what the symptoms are, then it's kind of a bit like bingo, right? Not the same element of fun, but
Yeah.
then you can kind of say, okay, well, I think it might be. And then you can talk to your doctor and they can rule out that it's not the thyroid, it's not iron deficiency, there isn't anything
Yeah.
going on. And that then, okay, right, chances are, yeah, you're in perimenopause, because
Yeah, and I think that point that you raised earlier on is so important. The lack of knowledge around, perimenopause or having symptoms while you still have your monthly cycle. I mean, people are quite ignorant around that, because you'll always hear when you go to doctors, they're always saying to you, oh, but if you still have your period and you're still fertile and all this kind of stuff, it's not time yet. And like you're suffering really badly then, and it could be so easily fixed,
I think that's where the subtlety of perimenopause, I always think it's so subtle that we don't even realize it until maybe someone says it to you, God, you don't seem yourself, or you just, are you
Or you're
okay?
crying at adverts.
You're crying at some Netflix documentary or
The ads come on and you start crying.
and let's not mention one day, because when I watched that, I think I cried for about a week
Oh
after.
my God, yeah.
God, that was just like, my husband was even like, are you okay? Like, I
I'm
was
watching that at the moment, actually, and I was
like,
having a little last night.
Stop it. Stop it. Well, I won't say anything more about it, but that's definitely it's very clearing and cleansing, shall
Yeah. Therapy.
Therapy, yes, therapy, thanks to Netflix. Mandy, thanks a million for coming on and sharing
No worries, anytime.
all the great work that's been done. And I think I really look, I think kind of, I know all our conversations really that all the hope is that all of these pieces of work that are being done by many of us will just basically, encourage the government to make the changes that we want to see happen. And it's not just for this generation of women, it's really for the next generation.
Absolutely.
Mind us, my God, they're going to breeze through all of this because we'll have paved
I
the way.
know, we'll have done everything. It's great. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Thanks a million for joining us, and I'll put any related information into.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Mandy.
Thanks, Catherine. Thank you. Talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Menopause Uprising with me, your host, Catherine O'Keefe. I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review, as it really helps the show.